Welcome to Wool Shift Dust. I'm Alicia, and I'm here with Luke. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Alicia. How you doing?
Good. Today, we're going back to our roots to discuss the Silo series on Apple TV+. You miss talking Silo?
I do. I was thinking when you were playing the intro, I missed that little theme song. I was sort of a bit discombobulated there for half a second because I was expecting the Beacon 23 theme music. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the second Silo season approacheth, and sooner than we expected. We learned at last weekend's Comic-Con in San Diego that the season will start November 14th, and we learned who's playing Solo, an important book character, and we learned some other stuff, too. So we're going to talk through it all with you today, and I'm representing the book readers on this pod, but the spoiler policy is that we must protect Luke and a bunch of other listeners' book innocence at all costs. We're going to, of course, spoil all of season one of the TV series, as we did in detail as that season was airing, and anything from the first half of Wool, the book, which is the basis of that season, is fair game. But I will not spoil anything beyond that point in the book. So the second season is going to be based off of the second half of the book, Wool, except I will be mentioning what was shown and discussed during Comic-Con when there was a panel about season two and a bunch of interviews around that. So it's mostly just tantalizing teases, but it does include a spoiler for a key scene and basically the situation in this first episode. So some spoilers for the first episode because that's what they shared publicly. And yeah, the big casting announcement that goes along with that. But yeah, I will not spoil beyond that any of the plots of season two or anything that I know is coming based on my book knowledge. Though if you want the full breakdown of the books, including the story of that new character played by Steve Zahn, then you'll find those in the Wool Shift Dust Book Club, and you'll find those links in the show notes. I'll talk to you a bit more about that at the end of the pod because there is a slight change afoot in that area. And yeah, just FYI for book club members, Abby and I, now that we know that the season's coming sooner than expected, we're going to be picking up the pace to complete the book series and the rewatch in time for that. So I'll talk about that at the end.
Honestly, will Apple TV not think of the podcasters? Will somebody think of the podcasters?
I know. Everybody's really excited that we are actually getting it in 2024. Like, it seems impossible to get especially like a sci-fi show, 1 year after the other.
Yeah, and one that's quite effect heavy as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kudos to Apple TV for not letting the grass grow under them.
Especially given they paused for a while, for like 5 months because of the writer's strike.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that means that all the VFX people, you know, have had the time they need and haven't been, you know, because you hear all these horror stories, particularly out of a few of Marvel films, like the VFX people being like, held to really unreasonable schedules. So hopefully that hasn't happened.
Yeah, I hope not. Because also, well, we've already seen there is a strike happening with some of the voice actors for video games. And there are other contracts coming up this year, including VFX artists. They've obviously got good cause to want better conditions. We'll see what happens.
But hopefully that hasn't happened with Silo. I don't think it will. Graham Yost and Hugh Howey seem like reasonable people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't know how much oversight Graham Yost has on it, but hopefully he seems like someone who would be considerate of that. The panel took place on Saturday, July 27th in Ballroom 20, which is a good showing. I think that's like the second biggest room there. Luke and I did not get to go. We are in Europe. We are very far from San Diego.
One day.
Yeah. But a lot of the cast was there. So on the panel, we had Rebecca Ferguson, who plays Juliet, Common, who plays Sims, Graham Yost, the showrunner, Hugh Howey, the author, and surprise, Steve Zahn, who is there as a character named Solo. And we'll talk a bit more about who Solo is in a little bit. But of course, the rest of the Silo cast that isn't dead, whose characters aren't dead yet, will be returning as well.
I've got to say, like, I thought before we get to what was discussed in the panel, mm-hmm. I've got to talk a little bit about some of the stylistic choices that were made. Because Hugh Howey, very bravely, I think, in the context of a convention, is walking around in open-toed sandals. So
yeah,
that is an invitation to foot jam right there, Q. And Common is wandering around in what did look suspiciously like his pajamas. Common was very comfortable.
Yeah, I was. I think Rebecca Ferguson called attention to Hugh Howey's footwear in one of the interviews. But then I was noticing that there are, like, for instance, during the Fantastic Four panel, what's her face? Oh man, I'm suddenly
Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby. She was wearing high heels, but open-toed high heels. I was like, well, I guess that's the same thing, just fancier.
Yeah, it's not a good choice for a convention.
No, but I was thinking I would wear closed-toed shoes. But of course, I don't think they're out there like mingling with everybody, yeah. Especially not Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah, but yeah, Common looked like he was wearing his pajamas. He looked very comfortable.
Good for him. And he dropped a freestyle rap during the panel.
He did.
Anyone who's curious, that I think Apple actually clipped that and put that out on their own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the big news was, and they got Rebecca Ferguson to announce it, which was cute. She was very excited about it. She was like, oh, yeah, I have an announcement. Season 2 will begin airing November 15th. So it's going to be, they're only going to do one episode drop to begin with. So none of this, like, double episode drop.
Uh-huh.
And then, at least as far as we understand now, and it's going to be one episode per week for 10 weeks through January. So we are planning to do weekly coverage like last season. We'll see how we'll handle the week over Christmas. We'll talk about that when we get closer. And of course, we'll be back to talk more trailers and all the promotional stuff as the season is gearing up. I think, yeah, you'll probably hear from us again, maybe second half of September. That might be when they start dropping more marketing stuff. We'll see. So Luke, we've read and watched a bunch of interviews this week. What about what you've heard now has you most excited?
I think the new character Solo, because that means we're meeting new people as we go into different silos. We're meeting new characters, and it's a chance to expand the universe. I was pleasantly surprised that Ian Glenn, Daddy Dr. Nichols, is back for season 2. I wasn't sure we'd be seeing that character again for a while.
But he didn't die. Why?
He didn't die. But like, I wasn't sure where his story was going. So I think that would be cool to see Daddy Dr. Nichols again. I think Rebecca Ferguson said something really interesting in the panel, which is she's talking about Jules and how Jules thinks, and she's explaining that, you know, Jules is an engineer. She's a very logical person. You know, sort of very problem-solving person, and that season 2 is going to require her to be more empathetic, to do the thing that Jules is not very good at, which is to relate to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. Also, I love Rebecca Ferguson whenever you get on these things, because you could see like Hugh Howey and Graham Yost take a slight intake of breath whenever, like, Rebecca Ferguson is answering a question, because Rebecca Ferguson has no filter, you know. She will give away plot spoilers galore. So it's like, you could just see Graham Yost in particular. Just...
Yeah, I think Graham Yost minds a lot more, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do know that the second season is based on the second half of the first book, Wool, as I said. I do think that it seems like there's a good chance they work in some shift stuff, like elements of Solo's backstory. But Hugh Howey keeps saying that almost all of the shift stuff is being held for season 3. Although, yeah, so shift, the book, it's what, yeah, we've been breaking it down in the book club recently. The third episode, the third and final part, just came out. But it is basically divided between the origin story of like this whole system, what's going on with, you know, because now we know after the season 1 finale that there are a bunch of silos. So you find out how the world became the way it is. And then there's also, it's intercut with things from the history of both. And now we can say they announced it during Comic-Con. Silo 18 is the silo where we spent the first season. That's Jules' silo. And also the history of the silo where we find Solo, the silo next door. And I think it's safe now to tell you, to point out, regular listeners might remember Sam, who's sadly no longer with us, but Sam's Twitter name was at Silo 17 Squad.
Okay.
And Sam's favorite character was Solo.
It's going to be such a shame that she's not here to see series two. But yeah, I mean, I think we'd obviously we know at the end of season one that we'd seen multiple silos. And I think it was sort of heavily implied that something had gone wrong with at least some of these other silos. What I'm going to find really interesting is the extent to which these silos are self-contained worlds, or are they actually part of a network interconnected with each other? So do they share things like oxygen, water? Do they have like a central sort, you know, are they tapping into geothermal energy together? To what extent are they silos, and to what extent are they
a network?
Are they hubs in a network?
I just to set expectations, I will say a lot of there's going to be, you will get some answers in this season, but a lot of those things about the bigger world of what exactly is going on will be season three things, because those are second book things. But there's satisfying mysteries and answers, and you know, like we got in the first half.
Okay.
And you're definitely going to see. They tell you. They told you at Comic-Con. Jules, she does not die as soon as the second season opens. She finds her way inside another silo, and you get to find out the story of that silo.
I don't think anybody was expecting Rebecca Ferguson, international film star and executive producer, to keel over at the end of it, to keel over at the beginning of episode one somehow.
Yeah, it would be kind of a crappy, I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be beyond this show if she just gets up to the ridge and she's like, wow, look, there's more silos.
Thump, yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy for her. Okay, so just to remind everybody, last season ended at the midpoint of the book wall with Juliet getting sent out to clean, which means cleaning the screens, the sensors that feed video footage of the wasteland outside to screens in the cafeterias throughout the silo. Cleaning is a death sentence, especially as it turns out the cleaning suits are designed to break down once the job is done, killing the person inside. Juliet, however, with the help of her lifelong friend Martha Walker, has received a specially reinforced cleaning suit that will last much longer. Outside, she discovers that cleaners are given fake green views in their helmet visors to motivate them to clean, but the landscape is really as desolate as it looks through the screen shown in the cafeterias. But her silo of 10,000 souls is not alone, it turns out. There are many other silos, and I don't think they said exactly how many in season one, but since they did at Comic-Con, I can say it here. There are 50 silos. And we were in silo 18 in season one.
Okay. And so we find out relatively early on in episode one, that we were also told this in Comic-Con, that something had gone catastrophically wrong in silo 17. And everybody bar one person is dead. And that's where we get our new character, Solo, from. He is that one person. He is the Dave Lister of Silo 17.
So to quote Graham Yost, the showrunner himself, in a print interview, Entertainment Weekly print interview, he said, "She's alive, yes. But when season two picks up immediately, her problems are only getting worse as she must find a way to get out of the toxic air and safely into a new silo. Juliet has a very difficult time getting into this other silo, and she's looking for safety because her suit is running out of air. This wondrous tape that Walker has arranged for her to have her suit wrapped in, that's going to fail. A lot of the episode is about Juliet just trying to survive and the engineering stuff she has to do to try to stay alive." And it says that although the premiere follows Juliet, it doesn't actually start with her. It does start in another silo and a rebellion gone very wrong. And I have to say, this Entertainment Weekly article shares more details about this scene, this opening scene, that I'm going to share here. But check the link in the show notes if you want to read the interview and see that as well. Yeah, and so the rebellion stuff actually in the other silo, I'm pretty sure, yeah, we get that in Shift, the second book. So that is one thing they're taking from the second book. So I do wonder if there will be more stuff from Shift in this second season, more backstory.
Because obviously we hear in season one that there was a rebellion in Silo 18 that was successfully repressed or failed to achieve its objectives in terms of getting out and opening the silo. So I wonder, are these two rebellions distinct events that take place in two different silos at two different points in time? Or was there some like large rebellion that affected the entire network of all 50 silos at the same time? Or did it spread through the silos over a period of time? Or are these two distinct events? I guess I'm going back to my original question of how separate are these different silos? To what extent are they? Was there a point at some point in the past where they were a single cohesive society that over time has broken down into individual silos?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to start using, on the Lorehounds Network, John has started using a Wheel of Time fan term, which is WAFO, watch and find out. So that's what I'm going to start saying when I can't properly address a question you bring
okay.
up. WAFO.
We're going to put a circle around that and we're going to come back to it.
What I can say, because this is what they said in the interview, is there is a comparison. I mean, you have to think that this rebellion happened. Obviously, Juliet knows that there's a rebellion in her own silo in her past. She's seeing the aftermath of a different rebellion, and she knows there was a rebellion, like things were not going the right way in Silo 18 before she left. So she's got to be thinking, oh God, this is what can happen.
Yeah, and they did say in the Comic-Con panel and in a few of the magazine interviews that basically Season 2 is going to be, it's going to be storytelling in two parts. There are going to be episodes that focus on Juliet and Silo 17, and there are going to be episodes that focus on...
Yeah, well, they said the first two episodes, the first one is pretty much entire, is all Juliet, and then the second one is like all Silo 18, and then he said that they would weave...
They intercut. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And for book readers, Yost said season two will finish adapting the book Wool in, quote-unquote, a slightly different way. So, yeah, so they're going to keep us on our toes, just like Luke likes.
Yeah, well, I don't like this. I don't like Alicia to be the fountain of all wisdom. I like it to be thrown off just occasionally, just to keep things interesting.
And Yost also says the second season will be scary, and that's not going off book. That's, yeah.
Okay.
So from a Screen Rant interview, we got a description of this scene. So I'll link that in the show notes as well, this Screen Rant interview. We got a description of the scene that they got to see at Comic-Con, which I wish I'd gotten to see. And they said footage from the Silo Season 2 premiere was shown. The footage features Juliet crossing a large chasm inside an abandoned silo. After almost falling to her death, she makes it to the other side, finding a human corpse. Hearing music, Juliet sets out to find its source, uncovering a room full of dead bodies. She also finds a metal door with a keypad, however, and a new character played by Steve Zahn peers out, warning her that if she tries to open his door, he'll kill her. So there's already some differences from the book, but nothing huge, because yes, she discovers this guy in the silo that she goes into. Same idea, same vibes. I'm going to selectively read from the same passage from the book Wool that this is based on to give you more of an idea. But I'm going to skip over the parts that are a little bit spoilery. So to set it up, basically, same as they discuss at Comic-Con, Juliet believes she's alone in the silo. But in the book, it's not music that alerts her. There might be someone else, but footsteps. And these footsteps start running away as soon as she calls out. So she stopped on 32 to listen. Holding her breath to keep quiet was almost impossible. Her lungs were crying out for deep gulps of air, but she remained still, the pulse in her palms beating against the cool railing. The distinct sound of footsteps still below her and louder now. She was catching up. She took off again, emboldened, taking the steps three at a time, her body sideways as she danced down the stairs as she had in youth, one hand on the curved railing, the other held out in front of her for balance, the balls of her feet just barely touching a tread before she was flying down to the next, concentrating lest she slip. A spill could be deadly at such speeds. Images of casts on arms and legs and stories of the unfortunate elderly with broken hips came to mind. Still, she pushed her limits, positively flying. 33 went by in a blaze. Half a spiral later, over her footfalls, she heard a door slam. She stopped and looked up. She leaned over the railing and peered down. The footfalls were gone, leaving just the sound of her panting for air. Skipping. There was a scraping sound near the far wall, the sound of metal sliding on metal. Juliet ran in that direction, wondering who the hell this was running from her and where they planned to hide. She could see a portion of the floor moving, a section of metal grate sliding to cover a hole. Juliet dove to the floor, her tablecloth garb wrapping up her legs, her hands seizing the edge of the cover before it could close. Right in front of her, she saw the knuckles and fingers of a man's hands gripping the edge of the grate. There was a startled scream, a grunt of effort. Juliet tried to yank back on the gate but had no leverage. One of the hands disappeared. A knife took its place, snicking against the gate, hunting for her fingers.
Yeah, that sounds tense. That sounds really tense. But also kind of fun. Like, I want to do that on a startup curling flight of stairs now. That sounded like it was fun.
Yeah, somebody asked Rebecca Ferguson and Steve Zahn, is Solo a threat to Juliet or a helper to Juliet? And they both answered, yes.
Yeah, that's your typical Comic-Con panel answer, that is.
Yeah. Zahn called his character a middle-aged man with the mentality of a 10-year-old. And I'll just say that that does not mean he has a limited IQ or anything. I'll let the show explain the rest.
But also, if you were to sort of set that as, we need somebody who's a middle-aged man with the mentality of a 10-year-old, who do we get to play that?
Steve Zahn is
perfect.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that must have been like a 10-minute conversation.
Yeah. Like, why did I not think of this before, to be honest?
Yeah.
We also heard they said at the panel, Juliet is the first of any of the silos to walk over the hill like that, which causes chaos back in silo 18. And yeah, we do have to worry about that rebellion that was brewing. Palman said that Sim's job just got a lot harder.
Yeah, I think Sims and Bernard may be the two most interesting characters in season two. I mean, they kind of were in season one, but
yeah,
you know, the rubber is about to hit the road from their point of view.
Yeah.
And I think Sims in particular, you know, there's going to be the divided loyalty, and I think Common touched on this in the Comic-Con panel, there's going to be the divided loyalty that was kind of set up a little bit in season one between his immediate family,
right,
and the sort of broader ideals of judicial in terms of protecting the silo, protecting society. I love listening to Common talk about Sims because it's clear that, like, Common understands that Sims is a complicated guy and in many ways not a good guy, but I think Common has a really sort of profound empathy with him. He really has a really good understanding of what motivates Sims and why Sims does what he does.
Yeah.
And I think he you know, some actors are very good at portraying that kind of thing on screen, but not good at explaining it and talking about it in an interview context. Common is really good at that.
Yeah, no, I agree. He said, that Sims has a life shaped by singular purpose, but after his family was threatened, that singular belief has been shaken up. So be interesting. I'm also wondering, you know, what our deputy boy is up to as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the whole gang. And if how many minor characters might make a comeback. Like, I'm wondering if Glory is going to come back up with the whole Flamekeepers thing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for more of that. On that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll tell you a bit more about Comic-Con. See you in just a minute.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
So, one, did you see the bit on the panel where they talked about the title of the first episode, which is, again, going to be Juliet in the New Silo? It's called The Engineer because she's going to have to do a lot of engineering stuff. But then Graham Yost got really choked up and said that it's the title is an ode to his son, who is an engineer.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. And that's, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I am.
And he said, so from the book marketing, the tagline was, if the lies don't kill you, the truth will. And Yost says, we love the ambiguity and complexity of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of the themes in season one is kind of knowing the truth is not necessarily an unalloyed good thing. Mm-hmm. There are sort of times, particularly in sort of extreme situations like the silo is portraying, when actually, you know, the truth can be a very dangerous
right
thing. And it always puts me in mind of one of my favorite lines in movies ever, and it comes from Men in Black, and it's where Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith are sitting on a park bench, and Will Smith goes, well, why couldn't we tell people about the existence of aliens? People are smart. And Tommy Lee Jones goes, no, a person is smart.
Right.
People are dumb, panicky animals.
Yes, this is true.
And it does kind of, I think Silo is kind of, if I were to sort of sum up Silo in a sentence, I think, or certainly if I were to sum up Sims and Bernard's point of view and the whole idea behind the compact, the whole idea behind the rules, the citizens of the silo live by, that would be a pretty good sentence to sum that up by.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very low trust society, and it kind of has to be because they're living in really unnatural conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why? And yeah, how? Yeah. Who designed the society? We also got some good intel on the tattoos. Apple put out a video on YouTube. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. Did you get a chance to watch that one?
I did, yeah. And yeah. I hadn't noticed that Juliet's tattoo was supposed to be rope that had been picked apart.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool because they pointed out that, of course, they can't have any sort of like organic tattoos because they would have never seen these things. So it's what is around them, what's in their life. And so, yeah, she has that main one on her arm is like a coil of rope that's sort of threading. And they pointed out that it's really the down deepers who have tattoos because it's sort of there to express their tribal identity.
What I want to know is, do they put that on like once at the beginning of shooting and it will stay on for like a couple of weeks, couple of months, however long you need it? Or do they have to do that every single day?
I mean, to make it look fresh, they would have to do it pretty regularly. If you have a temporary tattoo, which I've done before, it only looks fresh for like a couple of days. And of course, Rebecca Ferguson did say one word that everybody's laughing at. Book readers know what this is about. She talks about it being a wet season.
Oh. And of course, Juliet is what's the one thing Juliet is really afraid of?
Water.
Water.
That's a show invention, but I think that adds a nice twist.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has friendship tattoos and she has a ring, which I guess was George, right? And a bracelet. Yeah. So it's all telling her story and her tattoos. And I guess this is pretty standard, especially in like sci-fi shows that actors go through hours of makeup for filming. It's long days, long days. Yeah. So one thing there, did you, I don't know if you watched the IGN video. I think you did, but Yost said that that door from season one, the mysterious door, he said in season two, we get to the door.
Yes. Yes. But he said we get to the door. He didn't say we open the door.
No,
we didn't say
true.
We go through the door. That we
still
open
don't know
the
what
door.
The door is. And, even book readers don't. I have a suspicion, but
and this is the thing. This is Silo, so you have to parse what people are saying very, very carefully. Yes, Graham. We get to the door. Good. Do we open it? Do we go through it? What's on the other side of it, Graham? What's on the other side?
Yeah, exactly. So those are the main reveals that we got. Were you surprised by any of this?
I wasn't surprised that we were going to be flipping backwards and forwards between two silos. I thought the way season one ended, that was pretty much inevitable that Juliet would be exploring at least one other silo. So that didn't surprise me. I'm not surprised by the incipient rebellion in Silo 18, because that was kind of already
right.
That was kind of already on the cards by the time season one. The biggest surprise is Solo and the fact that in Silo 17 there is only one, you know, there's only one person there. Mm-hmm. And because I'd kind of been looking forward to exploring, you know, a right. whole different society in a silo. Mm. And maybe, you know, maybe that was organized along different lines. So I'm both intrigued and I have to say, not disappointed, because maybe we'll get there later on in the show. But I'd kind of like to have seen another society in a silo.
Yeah. They said we're getting to the end of the book in a different way. So who knows what they'll change, because they certainly in season one built out within Silo 18 more than you get in the book.
Okay.
And I guess that's the benefit of them splitting this book in two. So
okay.
I can just say, I just want to temper expectations that you're not going to get all the answers this season, because this is not the last season. And if anything, the way the books work is it's the second book where you get the most answers. And then the third book brings everything together into a conclusion.
I mean, I'd like Tim Robbins. I mean, Tim Robbins doesn't really do a lot of conventions, but I'd like to have seen Tim Robbins there, because I'd like to know more about what's going to happen or what's going on with Bernard. And I'd like to have seen a little bit more about what might be happening with Billings as well.
Yeah.
Because I think those are my two favorite. This is the thing, like, Juliet is undoubtedly the main character in mm-hmm. Silo, but she's not my favorite character. She's
okay.
not the character I find most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, are you intrigued by what you know about Solo so far? Are you Steve Zahn fan in general?
Like I say, if you wanted a middle-aged man with the mentality of a 10-year-old, Steve Zahn would be.
No, he's great casting.
Yeah, he's great casting.
Solo needs to be a lot of things. And
I mean, I'm not a Steve Zahn fan, but he's mm-hmm. one of those actors. Can you do other roles, do different roles.
Actually would say the opposite, because I think that he's shown amazing versatility.
Okay.
Because I've seen him do silly, I've seen him do serious, I've seen him do unhinged, and I've seen him do simple. And this role requires all of that. And I have to say, I will say, Solo is not stupid, but he's, you know,
immature.
He's a product of his experiences. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your wildest predictions for season two?
Ooh. My wildest predictions, I think either one of Sims or Bernard dies. And
okay.
I think one of them kills the other.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea in which direction that will go, but I think one of them dies and I think one of them kills the other.
Okay. You know who we did not hear anything about also, who I want to hear something about? Is our boy Lucas, our stargazer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's down in the down deep now.
Is he? Or I don't know. I mean, the last thing we saw is that was a threat that Bernard was lobbing at him, but we didn't see him go down there. So
Yeah, it's very much if you don't see a body, they're not dead.
Yeah.
If you don't see it on screen, yeah. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, so I will see where Lucas is when, I guess, in episode 2.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe not the most important question, but do we get a new mayor in Silo 17? Because Bernard has been, you know, Bernard was acting mayor for the last 6 episodes of season 1. It seems like there ought to be an election. There was talk about an election.
Mm.
Does that actually happen?
Does what Bernard want there to be an election?
Yeah.
All good questions. Yeah. Any other thoughts you want to throw out?
I wasn't expecting we'd see this at Comic-Con because it would be too big of a reveal. But I wonder if we get any more flashbacks. I just really want to see more of David Oyelowo and Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
I really want to see that.
I mean, I'm guessing not. Who knows? Never say never. But, I mean, their story is pretty much done. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, they're dead. Yeah.
Yeah. But
think of them anytime you see those two corpses on the hill.
Yeah, this is the thing. I just want a Silo spinoff. I want a sitcom. Starring David Oyelowo and Rashida Jones. I don't want anything
Silo
bad.
Silo Happy Days.
I don't want anything bad or mysterious to happen to them. I just want a Silo version of Happy Days.
Leading up, and then it ends with like, oh, we won the lottery.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're like, wah, wah, wah.
Wah, 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 wah.
The end. All right. Any final thoughts or theories?
Just that I'm really looking forward to it now. Like, you know, there's obviously, with all the Hot Law Summer stuff going on, I hadn't really given Silo much thought up until now. Now it's like, I'm going to have to rewatch season 1 now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm really looking forward to it. It was a very pleasant surprise that it starts in 2024, because I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No, yeah, I was definitely thinking like start of 2025, so it threw off my planning. I was like,
yes,
told you, I was like, mild panic on my end, but no,
before the podcast started, listeners, we did kind of have to do a quick reshuffle of our immediate plans for recording.
Okay, so let's talk about our immediate plans. So first of all, a little news on the book club side. So Abby and I are aiming to release Dust, or at least the first half, in the end of August. And then you can expect 2 episodes per month in the book club, September through November, to wrap up the last book, the 3 extra short stories, and talk book Easter eggs and book-based speculation with a rewatch of the first season. So all the things that I can't discuss in this pod to protect the innocent Lucan listeners' ears. And yeah, I want to shout out a thank you to our newest Silos and welcome to the Silo, Soph YB. Soph wrote in, I am loving your pod. It's been a helpful distraction from the very real threats to democracy. I'm in Canterbury, UK, but the world is watching the US with our breath held right now. Yeah, this is a show that does play into these themes. So I was so sad to hear about Sam. I really loved their analysis of Wool and their soft spot for the Stargazer. Thank you for continuing with the story at what must be in a difficult time. Can't wait to hear your take on the Silo Season 2 discussion, attaching the anniversary card I just made my husband with a nerd emoji. And I sent you the picture of the card.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
It's super impressive. It's a drawing of the Pez dispenser with the ducky on top. And it says, yeah, relic status pending. very talented. Soph YB is clearly an artist.
It was really well drawn. Yeah.
Yeah. I am listening to Shift on Audible. I have small children and I have to swap between hard copies and audio to get through a book these days. And the narrator puts on a whiny, annoying voice for all the women and Lucas. I'm so outraged. Keep up the amazing work. So I heard that there are 2 versions on Audible and one is more highly rated than the other. I don't know which one Soph is listening to, but yeah, I would urge people who want to do the audio version to look up the 2 versions and see which is available. I don't know. I'm not on Audible. I don't really know what's there. And Soph says to keep up the amazing work. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Soph. That's very sweet of you.
We're glad to have you listening. I do want to announce an upcoming change with the Patreon versus I've set up a Supercast feed for the book club. And Supercast is basically, it's like Patreon, but it's specifically designed for podcasters. And it just works a lot better for us with in terms of like the back end and the fees they take, but also in terms of allowing me to do things like, so I can create a playlist that is just Silo stuff and another one that's just Dune stuff, like and offer a season pass for people who are interested in only one and not the other, things like that. And also, Luke, I can give you a free account there, which I couldn't do on Patreon.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, but you can't listen to the...
I can't listen to, yeah, I can't listen to the Bullshit Dust stuff.
Yeah, so basically I will have like separate season passes for these different things, and there will be a combined feed, which will be a better price for the months where there are two per month. Because I found just the way I set it up on Patreon with the per episode thing, it's gotten too confusing for people, and it's a mess for me in terms of scheduling and stuff. So, hey, editor Alicia checking in from the future, because things have already changed since I recorded this episode last week. Basically, this pay per episode plan, Patreon is now phasing it out because Apple platforms about the season pass options that I mentioned. So watch out for all that. Okay, thanks. Back to the regularly recorded recording. Yeah, because Apple has changed their policy. So basically, Apple is definitely the biggest platform for podcasts. So yes, Patreon is conforming to their new rules, and there will be no more pay per episode. And I'm talking with Patreon now about how we can phase into the monthly thing. And so watch out for word on that. There is a link to the new Supercast version in the show notes for anyone who's interested. And there will be more information to follow on both platforms about the season pass options that I mentioned. So watch out for all that. Okay, thanks. Back to the regularly recorded recording. So yeah, links in the show notes. And Luke, you and I will be back on this public main feed to talk more Silo trailers, etc., once those come out, as we said. So I'm guessing like late September.
Yeah, probably. September, October, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be when they're ramping up the marketing and telling us more. And in the meantime, we have those plans we were just discussing to start the Dune series, but we're going to pause once Silo starts for weekly Silo coverage, because we can't do both at the same time. And also, it happens that Dune Sisterhood, the new HBO show that's set 10,000 years before the Dune movies, that is going to be starting at the same time as Silo season 2. So
seriously, well, like HBO and Apple need to sit down,
I know,
and have a meeting. This is
one
not
sci-fi
fair.
Show at a time.
Yeah.
Them's the rules. No, please don't do that, just one at a time. But yeah, these are the two big ones that we are interested in. So David's going to be taking the lead on the Lorehounds for the Dune Sisterhood, and we'll do some tie-in stuff here, like I'm going to talk about that book. So yeah, stay tuned, and we'll talk through more of the details about what's going to be handled on what feed when. And yeah, we'll keep you posted on how it will all go down. Any thoughts on the Dune show, Sisterhood?
I really like the trailer. I mean, Emily Watson is just, she's just off in a tier of her own, you know,
right.
She's like.
Looks visually exquisite.
Did I notice Mark Strong in that trailer as well? Because
there was
a character that looked very much like it was Mark Strong.
Let's see. So we've got Travis Fimmel, who people will know as Ragnar Lothbrok from Vikings. We've got Olivia.
I'll have to tell my mum about that.
Yeah.
She's a huge Ragnar Lothbrok. Not so much a Vikings fan, just a huge Ragnar Lothbrok fan.
Well, fair. Okay. Yeah. Yes, Mark Strong, definitely. That's who that was.
Oh.
We have Olivia Williams also. Yeah, it's a really good cast.
Yeah, like Mark Strong and Emily Watson, they're both actors that basically, it comes with a stamp of quality. You know it's going to be good if they're in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know nothing about the writing. I know what story it's based on. It is. So it's based on the founding of the Bene Gesserit sisterhood. So Lady Jessica, Rebecca Ferguson, she's not in it, of course, because this is set 10,000 years before the movies. But her sisterhood, this is about how it got started and how they started with the whole, the propaganda that they send out into the galaxy to pave the way for the eventual Lisan al Ghaib, which is
the Missionaria Protectiva, which is just, they're just two nice words to say.
Yeah, no, it is. It's beautiful. Yeah. And we're going to talk you through all of that soon. I promise. First priority is I'm going to finish up the dust book, because he's putting together these book podcasts is a lot. So I'm going to do the dust one, and then we're going to do Dune in three parts. Well, actually four, because after we do the three parts of the book Dune, we're going to do the rankings of that everyone sent in of the best scenes from the book, or the most memorable scenes from the book. Yeah. Any more thoughts?
No, I think that's it from me.
All right. Well, we'll be back with all of this stuff. So yeah, subscribe wherever you're listening and you'll get notified when the new episodes come out for both Silo and Dune. And until then, watch out for the loner with the knife.